glorious day. I'm Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity, and so glad to welcome you. If you are here all the time, we're glad to see you. And if you're here for the first time, we especially want to welcome you as our guests today. I hope you'll take a moment to fill out the connection card, which is in your bulletin. You can fill it out and then hold on to it. And later in the service, you can put it in the offering plates or hand it to one of the ushers when they come by. You're also able to let us know that you're here today by downloading the Trinity app or using your Trinity app and letting us know that you are here at trinitygnv.org. So we welcome you today. I want to invite you now to stand and join me in a responsive call to worship. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He, the Lord, has risen. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And now let me invite you to turn and greet someone near you. Please welcome them and say hello. Introduce yourself if you don't know them.
Good morning and happy Easter. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship service together by singing our opening hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Thank you. pray with me. Almighty God, as we gather in this place today, as we sing our praise, as we proclaim the good news from your word, as we feast at the table of mercy, may we encounter resurrection in such a way that we cannot contain it when we leave here, but are ready to share it with the world. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Would you remain standing and affirm our faith together? You'll see the words printed on the screens. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God all creatures here below. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Of all our gifts, praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
You may be seated. 2 years ago on Easter 2017, Trinity began a journey with some children in the country of Rwanda through a ministry called Zoe. And today we continue that journey. I want to invite you as we do so to watch a short video that will tell you a little bit more about what is happening through the ministry of Zoe for these children. Have a look.
My name is Nyandu, and this is my brother Mukisha. We live in Rwanda. After our parents died and our hearts collapsed, we had no home, no food, and our neighbors looked down on us. All we had was each other. Anyone could see we needed help. But Zoe saw how we could help ourselves. With a grant from Zoe, we started a charcoal business. We were growing and saving every day. Our dreams of a better life finally seemed possible. But then, all of our charcoal was stolen. Again, we had no home and no food. But Zoe gave us community. They helped us start again. We are business owners. We are neighbors. The next time you see me, I will have accomplished even more. Now I dream of what we can do together. We are Zoe.
In February, I had the opportunity to travel along with three members of Trinity to Rwanda to see firsthand what an impact Zoe is having, and it truly is unlike anything else I have ever seen on the mission field. Here you see a picture of the four of us with some of the young people that Trinity is currently supporting. Now, each of these young people have started a business. That's part of what Zoe helps them do. They teach them life skills. They teach them about health and hygiene. They teach them about financial management. And they put them in groups within their villages of typically 75 to 90 kids who share life together, who find joy, resurrection joy in the power of Christ and in the community with each other. These are all children who were orphans before and were ostracized and often exploited by people within their community. And through Zoe, they are finding new hope and new life. This is one of our groups here that Trinity is currently supporting, the Ibyashimo, or Happiness Group. So now would probably be a good time for me to tell you about my shirt. So this is a shirt that was made for me while I was in Rwanda. We went into a shop one day. It is a shop that is co-owned and operated by six Zoe graduates. These are young people who 7 or 8 years ago were those orphans who were living in villages uncared for, unattended to, many of them exploited, and who now operate a business together. And so I walked in one day. The young man took my measurements, and I picked out the fabric, and the next day I walked back in, and this shirt was ready for me to take home. It speaks loud and clear of resurrection to me. The butterflies, the warm sun, and the good news that is happening for these young people through the power of Zoe and through the generosity of people like you who help make it possible. So in just a few minutes today, we'll be having an opportunity to share in an offering. There are two ways in which you can participate today. One is to support the ongoing ministries of Trinity, and the other is to support with a special gift for our partnership with Zoe. And for those of you who want to take the challenge that I offered about a week ago of 100 people joining me in giving $1 a day, $365 for the year over the next year, we can support over this next year 300 children if we have 100 partners do that. So I invite you to consider taking that challenge or to make a gift of any amount to support the work that we are doing. Thank you for your attention to that, and thank you for your generosity. We're going to take some time to pray together this morning, and I invite you to perhaps pray for those children and for their lives, especially for the group that is just beginning. Just over the last couple of months, they have just started, and so they are just beginning to see what the possibilities might be for them. Pray for them. And today I also need to ask you to pray for the people of Sri Lanka. I don't know how many of you saw news before you came here this morning, but what I woke up to this morning was the news that there were six simultaneous bombings in different places in Sri Lanka, in churches and hotels. The number that I saw right before the sunrise service this morning was that nearly 200 are dead and more than 500 are injured. Please keep them in your prayers. I'll invite you into a moment of silence where you can pray on your own first for them, for our Zoe children, for others that may be on your hearts and minds this morning, and then I'll offer a prayer for us. Let us pray. Risen Christ, we gather in your name this day to marvel once again at the good news of Easter. Even in the midst of death and darkness, fill us with abundant hope that can only be found in you. into your hands we place our families, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and all whom we meet this day. Enfold them in your will. Risen Christ, into your hands we place all who are sick, who are hungry, without shelter, or in despair. Tenderly watch over them. Risen Christ, into your hands we place all who are victims of prejudice, oppression, or neglect. May every life be cherished from conception to the grave. Risen Christ, into your hands we place all who are suffering due to violence and evil. We especially pray this morning for the people of Sri Lanka. May all know the comfort of your love. Risen Christ, bring renewal to all our lands and to the church throughout the world. Raise up new callings to ministries of justice, mercy, and compassion. Bless and empower communities of faith like ours to be bold in meeting the needs of our times. May we walk in your footsteps, assured that it is the way that leads to life. And now hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. prepare to receive our offering this morning, I invite you again to participate in either way or both ways that you choose to support the ongoing ministries of Trinity or to support Zoe. There are envelopes in the backs of some of the chairs on each of the rows here in the space for your use. If you're making a gift to Zoe with one of the envelopes, please just mark it Zoe so that we know that clearly. Or if you prefer, you can also give online. There's a QR code in your bulletin, and you can scan that, and it will take you straight to a page that will enable you to do that. There are also cards in the backs of the seats that have that QR code as well. Let me invite you to pray with me. Oh God, we give you thanks for all the blessings that you pour out into our lives, especially the good news that we remember today of Christ who lived and died and rose again. And we pray that the gifts that we bring today may be a part of sharing hope and good news with others here in our community and in places across the world, particularly with children in Rwanda, Brazil. We ask these things in Christ's name.
quizzes of some kind. When I was in middle school, I'm nearsighted. I mean, I can see close, not far away, whatever that is. So in middle school, I started wearing contacts so that I could see distance. And that worked really well for about 25 years. And then, almost to the day when I turned 40, all of a sudden, I could not read. And so I tried reading glasses, and reading glasses worked really well over my contacts. But then, see, I also had to have regular glasses for when I didn't have my contacts on, and then I had sunglasses for when I did have my contacts on, and then I had prescription sunglasses for when I didn't have my contacts on, and it was just way too many pairs of glasses to keep track of. And so I went to my eye doc, and she said, well, why don't you try two different contacts, one in each eye, one to see up close, and one to see distance. Well, I wasn't so sure about that, and when she put them in, you know, at first I was a little bit, my perspective was off. I was a little bit wobbly, but she said, just give it some time and your eyes will adjust. And sure enough, they did. After I wore those two different contacts for a period of time, my eyes began to adjust and I was able to see clearly. You know, Easter is that time for us, that time of adjusting to new vision. Today we celebrate the resurrection, and it gives us a new lens through which to approach the world. The tomb is empty. God has conquered death. The worst thing that could ever happen to us is overcome by the resurrection. It gives us a different perspective, a perspective that can make all the difference for us. Let's listen again to this story of the resurrection from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken my Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, and the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Believed what, though? They didn't understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. And as she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." As soon as she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you know where they have carried him away, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Then she told them what he had said to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this message with you this morning as I pray for you and your sister. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When our daughter Shelby Hart was just about 2 or 2.5 years old, we were living in Durham and she was in seminary, and I received word that my grandmother had died. Great mom is what we called her. She was 88 years old, and she hadn't died. She had had a stroke, and she was on her deathbed. And we rushed back to Gainesville, and just hours after we arrived, she passed away. Now, that was a little bit of a confusing time for Shelby. She didn't really understand what was going on. That was the first time she had experienced any kind of death like that. And so what we told her was that Great Mom had died and that she had gone to heaven and she was now going to live with God. So 2 days later, we had the visitation at the funeral home, and we decided that we would go ahead and take Shelby to the funeral home because we wanted her to understand that death is a part of our lives. So that night at the funeral home, Shelby was out in the foyer and she was playing for quite a while. We weren't sure if we should show her Great Mom's body or not. We just kind of watched her to see what she wanted to do. After about an hour, she figured out what was going on and she said, I want to go in and see Great Mom. And so we took her in and we lifted her up to look into the casket. And she looked for just a minute, and then she said, okay, I'm done, and was ready to go on. We, again, tried to keep her occupied for the next period of time, and it began to get more and more difficult to keep this toddler occupied. And so the funeral director said, well, would you like to give her a snack? And I said, oh, that would be great. So Steve and I took her back into a room, and we followed the funeral director where we could get her some juice and a snack. Now, whereas the front part of the funeral home is always very nicely appointed and finished, this back room that they took us to wasn't quite the same. There was a vending machine and just a small table and some metal chairs, and it kind of had this musty, stale smell, and we gave Shelby her juice and her snack, and as we were sitting there, she cocked her head, and she looked around the room for a minute, and then she said, Mommy, is this heaven? And I laughed and said, no, baby, this is not heaven. Why do you ask? And she said, well, you told me that Great Mom had died and was going to heaven to live with God. So isn't this heaven? And I said, no, baby, this is not heaven. This is just where Great Mom goes after she died and before the funeral, the great mom had gone to heaven to live with God. You know, it's all a matter of perspective. And Shelby was looking at things from her very literal 2-year-old point of view. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Mary went to see her Lord. And when she arrived at the tomb, it was empty. She was upset. She was distraught. She couldn't comprehend what was happening. This was not how it was supposed to be. She was already grieving enough. And now someone had stolen his body. It was more than she could bear. Nothing in the world made any sense anymore. In complete distress, Mary runs to tell the disciples, and two of them race to the tomb to see for themselves. And when they get there and the body wasn't there, they believed, but maybe they just believed that the body wasn't there, so because it says they returned and went back to their homes. But Mary went to the tomb again. And this time she looked inside. And it wasn't empty, but instead there were two angels there. One where the head of the body would have been and one at the foot. And the angels said to the woman, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary responded in exasperation, "Because they have taken my Lord and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned around and almost bumped right into the gardener, or so she thought. And he too said, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And Mary responded, "Sir, if you have taken him away, just tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And then he called her by name. "Mary," he said. And there it was. The sound of his voice calling her by name, and she recognized him. All she had to do was hear her name, and then everything became perfectly clear. Her perspective had changed. Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, and that changed everything. He told her he was going to be with God the Father, and from that moment on, she approached the world from an entirely different point of view. God had conquered even death, and that gave her a perspective of hope and joy that she had never had before. I'm sure adjusting to this new vision was a bit difficult for her, and she might have been a little bit wobbly at first, but she ran to tell the other disciples, and she announced to them with confidence and enthusiasm, "I have seen the Lord." Now that she could see clearly, her weeping turned into witnessing. She could see and approach the world in a whole new and different way. That's what the resurrection does for us. It completely changes our perspective and how we see the world around us because it completely changes us. The power that shattered death is given to us in life. The miraculous work of God that dealt with evil once and for all on that very first Easter day is available to us, not only in death, not only at the end of life, but here and now, to transform us and the way we live. Now more than ever, those of us who are Easter people are convinced to approach the world from a completely different perspective. Because Christ has risen, we can move beyond believing only what we see to trusting our lives to a God who has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We can now see with hope and love and joy like never before. And goodness knows, when the evil of terrorism, like that experience in Sri Lanka this morning, threatens lives at random, or perhaps I should say intentionally, nations take up arms against nations in the absurdity of war. When children go to bed hungry in spite of an abundance of food in the world. When politicians in the highest offices spew infantile slander against one another, bullying each other with the immaturity of kids in grade school. When violence on our streets rises to absurd levels. When states project the number of prison beds in the future based on the reading level of third graders today. Goodness knows we need the hope of the resurrection here and now. And we can embrace it. And we can witness to it because we are Easter people. We are called by Christ to offer hope and joy. We live with an Easter point of view. Because Christ is risen, we can be in relationship with God. Because Christ is risen, we can allow God to be at work in and through us. Because Christ is risen, we don't have to sink to the lowest common denominator of moral, social, political, and economic assumptions of the world around us. Because Christ is risen, we can shape our lives to the highest calling of Jesus Christ. Because Christ is risen, we can live as one body, one people, united in heart and mind to do no harm and to do all the good we can. Because Christ is risen, we can see the possibility of new life coming from every death. We can see light shining in even the darkest moments. We can see hope springing forth even in the midst of despair. We can see and live as Easter people with an Easter perspective. You probably don't recognize the name Nikolai Bukharov, nor should you. But at one time, he was one of the most powerful men on earth. He took part, he was a Russian communist leader, and he took part in the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. And he was the editor of the Soviet newspaper Pravda. His works on economics and political science are still read today. There's a story told about a trip he took from Moscow to Kiev in 1930 to address a huge crowd on the subject of atheism. He attacked Christianity. He hurled insults. He made his case, and it took him a long time to convince the crowd. And at the end, he looked around at what he knew to be the smoldering ashes of their faith. He carefully looked over the crowd. He looked to the right and to the left, and he saw their faith in pieces. And he said, "Are there any questions?" Silence and stillness filled the auditorium, and no one said a word. Then the parish priest was invited to say the benediction, and he stepped up, standing in front of the crowd, and he too looked to his left, and then looked to his right, and pronounced the benediction that would have been so familiar to all those in the Russian Orthodox Church. He said to them, "Christ is risen." And they said, "Christ is risen indeed." You see, we are Easter people, and we have an Easter perspective. And knowing that Christ has risen changes our lives. It changes not only what happens after death, but it changes our lives in the here and now. There is nothing that we can't face with an Easter perspective. There is no death. There is no mourning. There is no obstacle that God can't overcome. And we celebrate that as Easter people. As Easter people, we live with an Easter perspective. And so I say to you, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. God, we are often not the Easter people that we should be. Living with the Easter perspective of your hope and joy. Distracted by the world around us, we fail to hear your voice. Overwhelmed by heartache, we cannot see clearly. Discouraged by life's difficulties, cling more tightly to what we know. And when our faith is challenged, we begin to wander off path. Forgive us, we pray. For some of us, we know that there is something missing in our lives. So when you call our name, give us the courage. Help us surrender to your call. When you speak to us, help us listen. And for all of us, oh God, fix our eyes on you. Renew us. Recreate us. Restore our vision so that we can live as Easter people.
As Easter people, we gather here at the table where we remember the death that Christ died for our sake and for the sake of the world, and where we remember that death did not have the final word. For on this day of all days, we remember that Jesus rose up from the dead. But we remember also that the words that he shared that night as he gathered with his for a final meal are words that, while meant for them, are still meant for us. How when he took the bread and he broke it, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And how after the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks. He shared it with them and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Gracious and merciful God, fill our hearts with gratitude at the wonder of your love and the hope that is ours through Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of your bread and wine given for us to remind us of Christ. In these gifts may we recognize the presence of Christ, his body and blood given up for our sake. Bind us together as your people to live according to your purposes, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come at this time and make their offerings ready. bread and dip it into the cup. And then after you receive, you can return by the right side of your section to your chairs. If you'd like, you are welcome to come and spend time in prayer here. All things are ready. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this meal by which you have nourished us for faithful living. May we go out from here today, ready to love and serve, ready to do all the good we can, having been shaped by a perspective that comes to us through the risen Christ. Amen.
As we sing our closing hymn, I invite those of you who would like to sing the Hallelujah Chorus with the choir to come on up during these two verses that we'll be singing. Sylvia will have some music with her that she'll share with you. Altos are on this side. Behind them, the basses, sopranos, and tenors. Come on up. We'd love to have a good crowd for the Hallelujah Chorus. Let's stand and sing two verses of Crown Him with Many Crowns.
As you go out this morning, I invite you to put on new glasses, to go out with an Easter perspective as Easter people, knowing that nothing you can face, God cannot overcome. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Thanks be to God.